Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the weekly podcast by Radio Free Arpido Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Arpido Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. Maybe it looks like a search from abroad, but I think we had a couple of quiet days in Kyrgyzstan, followed by former President Atambayev's visit to Moscow and the meeting with the President Putin. But all signs of potential confrontation remains as Atambayev continue resisting government orders and security forces remain on alert outside of his residence. So what is latest and what is next in this confrontation between the current and former presidents, and why President Putin getting involved in this apparently local and most probably personal dispute? To discuss all these, I'm joined by Adil Baysalov, Kyrgyz political activist who has recently been appointed as Kyrgyz ambassador to the United Kingdom, Talat Sultanov, former spokesperson of jailed Kyrgyz prime minister, and Atambayev ally, Sabar Isakov, Dr. Erika Marat, Kyrgyz political analyst, currently associate professor at the National Defense University, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. Thank you, colleagues, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Very nice
Thank
to have you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you. So my latest news from Kyrgyzstan is that there is no Atambayev-related news over the past 1 week. And as a Central Asia-focused journalist, I'm kind of getting bored. So what's going on there, Bruce Vanier?
Well, I mean, it's not like there's no news at all. I mean, they're still trying to get Atambayev to come in for questioning. And in fact, there's been a big debate about, and not so much a debate, but President Jeenbekov is trying to now explain that this is part of a legal process. You know, the prosecutor's office has said we want Atambayev to come in as a witness to be questioned about the why gangster Aziz Batukayev was freed from jail, because he was informed about the situation. So we want to hear what he has to say. So they're still trying to get him to come in. Atambayev insists, of course, that he would like to be allowed to make a written statement and submit that. So he just wants the questions. He doesn't want to have to leave his compound and actually come down and physically be in the building for the questioning. So there's still a little of this push and pull going back and forth about, you know, where you should come in and give us a statement about what you know about the how this person got out of jail. But Atambayev insists that there's no purpose in him actually having to go down there, and that he's able to handle this in written form.
Yeah, Atambayev is resisting to the calls by the Kyrgyz authorities. Why he's doing that, Talant?
Well, first of all, he is ex-president and he has the immunity.
But he lost the immunity.
Yes, the parliament has voted that they should strip the immunity, but, you know, it's a legal point that the law cannot have the backward effect, one. And second, this issue is being considered in the constitutional chamber. And Mr. Atambayev says, let's wait for the decision of the constitutional chamber before you can actually consider me as no longer having the immunity. So that's his main argument for doing what he's doing now.
So, Adil, what's going on with the authorities? I mean, how you are going to get former President Atambayev listen to the orders? You have taken away his immunity. Charges were filed against him, but I guess there's a limit to what authorities can do about this.
No, actually, to the contrary, I would like to urge everybody, and especially the international journalists like yourself and Bruce, to avoid describing the situation out of proportion. There is no confrontation to speak of. There is no, sometimes that Mr. Atambayev used in his recent statement, described like sides of conflict. What conflict? There are no sides of it. There is one single person, former president, who has abused his office and lost support of such an overwhelming scale that there is no single political person of any significance speaking in his support. You know, we have argued about it before. Mr. Atambayev was stripped of his immunity according to the highest standards, you know, the highest hurdle, the same procedure that is used to impeach the sitting president. And, you know, the requirement of it is not only the simple majority, not only the constitutional majority, but he received 103 votes against him. 103 votes of the same parliament that was handpicked by himself. You know, the general prosecutor came out in full force against him. And I know the tendency is to describe the situation, to very much simplify it, as if, oh, look at those curious, they just cannot get enough of it, they just, you know, going after previous president. But I would just urge you to consider the fact. And the facts of the matter are very clear. It's not only the whole parliament, it's not only the government and general prosecutors, it is the people. In quite overwhelming majority, who demand justice, who demand him to face responsibility, not only because of the legal principles, you know, no one is allowed to steal, no one is allowed to accuse of this.
Okay, let's take the
reason. It's not going to be a problem of bringing him and before justice.
But it seems to be a problem because the authorities, security force are outside of his house and he ignores the Interior Ministry's Safina. It appears that there's nothing can be done about it. Now President Putin is kind of came out calling for the unity in Kyrgyzstan. So let me take, Erica, your point in this. How do you see it? Is it the way you see it, what Adil has described?
So I think I agree. There are grains of truth on both sides, if I may say so. I think Atambayev managed to anger lots of people. I think some of the allegations of his corruption need to be investigated further. However, I also think that the whole process of prosecuting him was deeply politicized, and the parliament just demonstrated that they're really more loyal to the incumbent in order to be reelected in the next elections and not so much really concerned with the legal process. On the other hand, also, all those calls to prosecute corruption by Jeenbekov seem to be not entirely genuine, because we know that corruption on large scale continues to exist under Jeenbekov as well. Now, Atambayev's visit to Russia and meeting with Putin is also deeply problematic, and I don't think it helped him in any way, because he just demonstrated that he cares more about himself as a political persona in the country, really not aware of all the anger around him at the cost of sovereignty of the country. So he really did not gain any popularity by going to Russia and meeting with Putin.
There's something we call in our journalistic language, painkiller. You know, this call by the President Putin for unity of Kyrgyzstan, it sounds like this intense pressure that Atambayev was under, it kind of gone away. Isn't that the feeling now? At least I feel in this way.
It maybe gave him some assurance, maybe some of his supporters, some assurance that Putin is ready to leverage Atambayev or his relations with Atambayev against the current government, even though we don't really know how much Putin is actually in support of Atambayev, to be honest, because I really think that for Putin, it's much more convenient to secure the loyalty of the incumbent president as opposed to continue supporting the one who is no longer in power. But no, I don't think it helped him. I think it created more confusion, more anger. It was the political climate in Kyrgyzstan and the politicized nature of our judiciary. I don't see a way for Atambayev to continue doing what he's doing. I think his options are really narrowing. He will either have to surrender at some point to the judiciary, or he has to flee the country.
So, Talant, why Atambayev is not surrendering? I mean, why he's resisting? And it appears that both Erika and Edil were saying that, you know, he's at the end of the road. I mean, what's the point of continuing this resistance? If he's not guilty of anything, then why just go and talk to those people who wants to talk to him?
I would reiterate the point that Erica mentioned about how independent or maybe dependent the judiciary is in Kyrgyzstan. So the rule of law is not really trustful. That is one, I guess, legacy or one thing that Atambayev didn't manage to complete, is to have the independent law judges. And one thing that maybe he, I guess, had left as legacy is very powerful state security agencies. So if you get into that territory, then nobody can really count on a very due process. And here I wanted to bring up the case of my boss, the ex-prime minister Sapar Isakov, who has just kind of had his second birthday in KGB cells. So it's the second year that he is in prison, but the prosecution has no proof, no evidence, no witnesses to support their, you know, claims that there was corruption or Mr. Isakov was involved in it. Experts who have done the initial calculations, which the prosecution didn't like, they were also put in prison. And you can see what is the climate, environment in the country is. And that is why the members of the parliament voting in such en masse that 99% vote as the way they are supposed to vote. So there isn't really, although we have six parties there and many of them supposed to be opposition parties, but they vote all according to the kind of instructions from above.
Yeah, I know Adil wants to respond in this. And also, Adil, while responding, I have a question to you, too. Like, you know, Atambayev is there, and you have taken away his presidential immunity, and you have barricaded him in his house, but he's still outside. In the meantime, the authorities put in jail lots of other people who are merely a minor actors in Atambayev's world. How you explain this justice to the people?
You know, I can tell you that Almazbek Atambayev and his clique are reaping what they sow. They ruled with heavy hand and absolute disregard for the rule of law, or for their own pledges delivered on April 7. They swore with blood of our fallen heroes that they are going to install justice, that they are going to fight for the rule of law, that they are going to do away with all these vestiges of the previous regimes. They did nothing. They did none. They actually abused office and imprisoned dozens and dozens of their own political opponents. The judiciary worked like their own personal machine. Not even under Askar Akayev or Kurmanbek Bakiyev regimes, we had so many political prisoners or so much of injustice for the political goals that was set by Almazbek Atambayev. And the way he's acting, you should not be surprised. This man believed he was a demagogue. You know, he was above the law. He was above the state of Kyrgyzstan.
I totally understand what Adil, you are saying about, you know, the background of Atambayev. But talking about today, he is, as someone that you are describing, he is outside of jail. But the authorities in Kyrgyzstan put lots of other people who were just merely minor actors in Atambayev's world. They are in jail. How you explain this justice to people?
No, I would not that former prime minister is a minor person.
I mean, lots of other people.
There are two of them facing justice, and I can understand there are some issues with that, but when we are talking about Almazbek Atambayev, let us not misinterpret him staying on the stolen land, that he built himself a palace on unexplained gain after coming to the office. Let us not interpret this as a sign of weakness of the Kyrgyz state. If it needs to be done, he can be put behind the lock like in a matter of minutes, in a matter of an hour. The way he's trying to describe that if the people of Kyrgyzstan are for him, that they are going to die for him, not to let him to go to prison, it is his cowardice. He's a very, very much a coward, and he doesn't even have an international friend to seek a refuge in a country, because the way his own mismanagement, he managed to turn the whole people, the whole political elite of Kyrgyzstan against him, and he managed to turn everybody outside into his opponent. You discussed, for example, the recent case of unusual interference by our friend, the leader of Russia. But we rushed to misinterpret that interference as if it was on behalf of Atambayev, as if to stop any political persecution. No, the message was quite clear. Not to rock the boat, to unite around the sitting president, not to risk any further instability. What did Almazbek Atambayev respond? How did he respond? He landed in Kyrgyzstan, he exited from the Russian government plane, and he said, I don't care what Putin says. I don't care what Donald Trump says. This is exactly internal affair of Kyrgyzstan. And yes, exactly, by that burned all and remaining bridges to the Kremlin. He burned any pretense of him having the clout of support from the any outside force. And I can tell you the matter is quite clear. The people of Kyrgyzstan, all of our international friends, the whole region, want stability, want that the current leadership elected in the most democratic elections. We are defending democracy. You know very well that most of us online, we did not vote for the current president. But at the moment, we are ready to defend this exactly as defending the statehood, the rule of law, and democracy, right. The people of Kyrgyzstan, to against the former corrupt leader.
Right. Let's take Bruce, your point on this about Putin's message. How authorities interpret that? It's really clear. The way Edil was saying, like Putin's call was about get united around President Jeenbekov. So, what was the message the opposition or the other people got out from what Putin has said?
I wouldn't want to speak for the opposition, but I mean, it was pretty clear that Putin wanted an end to the legal case against Atambayev, too, during this brief statement. I mean, you know, it was symbolic that Atambayev wasn't there standing next to him when Putin spoke, so that's good. Why Putin is involved in this at all is still beyond me, you know, but that said, he did arrange a plane to go and get Atambayev some, and he also, Atambayev was able to leave his compound and without any interference get all the way to the Russian, you know, to the airport base or the air base at Kant. You know, when you would have thought that distance, they could easily have served him with a summons or something like that, you know, but it was clear that Russia is already involved in this and had arranged a lot of this stuff in advance. So, you know, he basically said you should drop the case against Atambayev.
Also, Atambayev was saying that, according to him, the visit was based on invitation by Putin, President Putin.
You know, that's what he says.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what he bases that on exactly. It's hard, you know, again, I can't imagine Putin was that anxious to get involved in Kyrgyz matters. But in fact, Russia is now involved. Of course, they always have an influence in what's happening in Kyrgyzstan. There's no doubt about it. But the whole thing seemed kind of absurd. It was kind of like running to dad and say, you know, and saying, I got this problem. And dad just saying, both of you stop it. You know, right now, cut it out, and I don't want to hear about this anymore. You know, you've already had a lot of problems in the country, and let's just move forward with all this stuff. But, you know, I know how this is going to be interpreted by different people in Kyrgyzstan is going to be a problem, because we know that Russia has had huge influence in what happened in 2010. Right. They helped to get Bakiyev out. They helped to keep Atamakin from winning a majority in parliament later in the year. So you have to take this seriously. What Putin's personal relationship is with Atambayev at the moment, of course, is a big mystery. You know, and although Atambayev came back and said, we don't need anyone to, you know, to sort out affairs, it's an internal thing. I'm like, well, you know, a lot of people asked him, well, why did you go and involve the Russian president to begin with, if that was true? You know, going forward, we have parliamentary elections next year. Now, Atambayev has come back, and at least from what I heard from the Kyrgyz service, he's already planning on having a protest in September. Before Parliament reconvenes to basically dissolve Parliament. That's what he wants to do now because, of course, he considers them to have been disloyal, and a lot of members of his Social Democratic Party of Kyrgyzstan have defected and left, you know, they don't support him anymore. So now the Parliament that has voted to strip him of immunity, he's trying to plan a counterattack to call for their dissolution. I doubt that would work, but anyway, I mean, he's emboldened enough that despite what Putin said about just knock it off and stop all this stuff, his next move seems to be to call for the dissolution of Parliament. Yeah. I haven't seen from any statements that he made that he's going to call off his criticism of Jeenbekov. He's toned it down for now. Right. But I would imagine in a couple of weeks, he'll be back to doing what he was doing, you know, five months ago last year.
Okay. So what's next in this? I almost said confrontation, but Edil don't like it. But let's say rivalry. So what's next in this? What's next for Atambayev? What's next for President Jeenbekov? And how does the President Putin sees the future in Kyrgyzstan? Let's continue the Majlis podcast talking about these and many other questions very shortly. Before that, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis. I'm joined by Edil Baysalov, Kyrgyz political activist. I think going forward, we are going to call him Mr. Ambassador after his recent appointment as the Kyrgyz ambassador to UK. And of course, our congratulations for this appointment again. And Talant Sultanov is with us, who is the former spokesperson of Jild, Kyrgyz Prime Minister Sabar Isakov. Dr. Erika Marat, Kyrgyz political analyst, currently associate professor at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C., is also joining us. Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia Blog, Kishlok Owozi, is with us from Prague. And I'm Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back. So let me start with you, Bruce. You know, we were talking about this a couple of days ago, you know, about the minor protest was taking place in parts of Kyrgyzstan in relations or in support of Sabar Isakov earlier this week. Anything came out of that?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was interesting, the sequence of events, because, of course, Atambayev would come back, and then there was this demonstration in support of Isakov, you know, in his native area in Kochkor. You know, at 300 people, we never know with Kyrgyz politics, how many of these are genuine supporters and how many of them might have gotten a little bit of money to come out and support it. Certainly, that has happened before in Kyrgyzstan. But it did seem interesting that after Atambayev came back, that they decided that there was going to be this demonstration, and they held it. You know, it's another sign of defiance and dissatisfaction with the government's policies and the judiciary, the legal cases, the judiciary in the country. So, you know, it's not an insignificant event. It wasn't a huge demonstration, but in the meantime, it was a reminder that there is a section of the population, albeit small, maybe in this one case, that doesn't agree with the legal proceedings against Isakov, and by extension, is dissatisfied with the proceedings against Atambayev.
Talant, do you like to elaborate a little bit on that protest? Who were they and what they were chanting for?
Well, the protest was around the birth date of Mr. Sabar Isakov. It's his second year in jail, and this was his supporters. That's his home village of Kochkor. Also in the city of Bishkek, there were flash mobs organized by the youth. What's interesting, I was in Kochkor when this protest was taking place, peaceful assembly, actually, and the authorities, maybe afraid of what's going to happen, turned off the electricity. So the local organizers had to bring in the car and run the speakers. So it was, as Bruce described, a very peaceful assembly, but to send a message that people are really dissatisfied with the things, what's happening in the country. I really like this expression that we have enough problems in Kyrgyzstan that settling of personal accounts is lasting for 2 years, but there is no positive agenda. Nobody's caring about the economy, about bringing investments, about creating jobs. So people are really becoming anxious that, you know, enough of fighting and do something about actually our economic and social conditions.
Yes. I, Mohammed.
Yeah.
I would like to wish happy birthday to our former prime minister, but I would like to strongly disagree with my friend Talant. It's not settling personal accounts. It is exactly demanding that why are we so poor? Why there is so much injustice? Why all the judges are corrupt? And $4 billion of dollars, amount unimaginable to our former presidents like Akayev and Makiev, who we hate as corrupt, and rightfully they were exiled from our country. But they look as petty street thieves in comparison to the likes of Atambayev and Sabar Isakov, who so much squandered that much of cash that came to our country from our neighbors, the greatest country on earth, the People's Republic of China. They gave us $4 billion of dollars of a blank check. And what did Sabar Isakov and Almazbek Atambayev do? They squandered it. And probably the judges will find they stole it, some of it. But one thing I would like to tell you, that when friends of Sabar Isakov like Talant, they tell us, why are we wasting our time on this negative agenda? Exactly what Atambayev was doing for 10 years. Exactly what he promised us to do more of it. Remember, it was us, the previous years, who was telling you guys in government that the only thing you do is jail. The only thing you do is lock up people. The only thing is that Atambayev did is call names of his political opponents, who he made everybody in the political elites. So I would like to repeat, it is a very unfortunate situation for quite a lot of people, but it is reaping what they sow, what they promoted, what they celebrated as the greatest heights of democracy. And this happened to the people, of course, who did not care about injustice, about dozens of people being imprisoned in Akhaev era under Kurmanbek Bakiyev. You know, I would like to remind that Tsapar Isakov was the right hand of our Prince Maxim Bakiyev. He was in Washington, D.C. when the heroic youth of Kyrgyzstan was paying with their lives to remove the bloody regime of Kurmanbek Bakiyev. Where was Tsapar Isakov? He was with Maxim Bakiyev in Washington, D.C., discussing strengthening ties. So let us not pretend that these servants of corrupt regimes, who served subsequently corruption, promoted and implemented illegal anti-constitutional orders of another corrupt dictator like Almazbek Atambayev. Let us not pretend that he is...
Edil, I know Talant would like to respond to that, but also you are alleging, naming the former administration, Tsapar Isakov and Atambayev and corruption, lots of other things. You know, you also remember that the current president was also part of that administration as a second most powerful person. All these things happened under his watch, Edil, you know, just to be on the...
I would like to comment on that. You know, what did Atambayev want by installing, and he did install, the current president, Mr. Sooronbay Jeenbekov, was certainly nominee by Atambayev, but there was complete misjudgment of character. Pay attention to how he calls his former friend. He calls him a redneck. He calls him someone who doesn't know how to read. He despises him as absolutely incompetent. And pay attention to this. If he was such a figure, why did he nominate him and install him as a president? The answer is clear. Because Atambayev wanted to continue as a leader behind the curtains. Yeah. He wanted to call the shots. He installed this young clerk of Tsapar Isakov as a prime minister of the country because he doesn't have any political past or future. Or the only support of his comes from Almazbek Atambayev. And that's why he was totally loyal to only one man, not to the law, not to the constitution, not to the people of Kyrgyzstan, but only to Almazbek Atambayev.
Yeah. Okay,
and that's why it is very clear. Yes, he installed who he thought will be someone very dumb. He will act as a figurehead and will behind his back. These people will continue to rule Kyrgyzstan. But no, this is not what happened. The people elected Sooronbay Jeenbekov. The current president felt himself responsible to the people. I apologize for my pathos, but to history, to the higher calling. And he said, I am going to be clean of any responsibility. I'm not going to allow this is something, a coup d'etat happening behind the curtains, that they will want me to pretend as I am a democratic leader, but all the shots being called by this clique.
Thank you.
He stopped this.
Thank you, Edil. You know, it's clear that you are not going to respond to my question. I was saying, as you call former Kyrgyz leaders, Atambayev and Isakov, as the most corrupt leaders of the past administration, the current president, Jeenbekov, was also in the same administration as the prime ministers. Let's move on. Erika, you might already have points to add on what Edil has been saying. I also was wondering about your thoughts on how to bring some normality to the political turmoil that Kyrgyzstan is going through for some time now. It's clear that these frenemies, Atambayev, Jeenbekov, it's very clear that they cannot work together. It's okay. Let it be so. But why not to handle these differences through straight politics? Why to add so much emotions to these differences? Why to make it so confrontational?
Okay. I agree with the critique that Atambayev did nothing to reform the judicial sector, and his 6 years were quite mediocre. He was not the most effective leader. And at the same time, I also think that Jeenbekov is doing almost exactly what Atambayev is doing. He's not declaring any ambitious reforms to overhaul the judiciary, or to come up with an economic plan, a strategy, or, you know, at least pledge to continue strengthening democratic leadership. So that said, I think for the current president, it is important to recognize and also listen to the voices in the society that fight against corruption without an overhaul of the judiciary, without an effort to create new transparent procedures within the judiciary, is really just rhetoric and can easily be politicized against his opponents and will lack legitimacy. So he might just continue the cycle of a leader succeeding him, prosecuting all his opponents from previous regime. So this is a note to Jin Bekov, that he, even though Atambayev was mediocre, Jin Bekov doesn't seem to be any better. And for Atambayev, I think it's important to realize that his time is over. It is time for him just to support the current government, or at least not to be a politically destabilizing force in the country, and try to at least listen to some of his critics in this realm. And finally, I'd like to note that it's also very disturbing to have this conversation and focus on just Jeenbekov Atambayev's spat when in Kyrgyzstan we still have what I consider to be political prisoners who continue to be jailed without a due process. And it's deeply problematic. And if we continue turning a blind eye towards it, we're not really talking about any substantive political progress. We are just showing support towards one leader or another.
Okay, so Bruce, let me get your point on how we get out of this situation, this confrontational situation, this tense situation in Kyrgyzstan, where, you know, opposition does its work, authorities do its work. Is it even possible under current circumstances?
Oh, man, that is a good question. You know, certainly the personal feud between the current and former president needs to be removed from the political scene as fast as possible. That's going to be nearly impossible to do, actually. I can't see that because, as Adil had pointed out, crimes were committed when Atambayev was in office. And you know, justice demands that there has to be an investigation, and that people that broke the law have to be punished for doing that. Atambayev is going to take the view that the cards are stacked against him and he has no chance in the world of getting a fair trial. Some would say he doesn't deserve one. But in the meantime, that if he does agree to be questioned and if he is charged, that there's no way in the world that this future holds anything but a prison sentence for him. You know, so it's too bad because there's so much that needs to be done in Kyrgyzstan. It would be nice if we could get beyond this feud, but we know that next year is parliamentary elections, for instance. And it always seemed to me that Atambayev is hoping that he can resurrect his faction of the STPK and have them get a significant number of seats in parliament, hopefully enough that he might even be forwarded as a candidate for prime minister, and then he's back in the political scene. I would consider that to be unrealistic at the time. But, you know, as Erica mentioned, there's a lot of people who are still sitting in jail who probably shouldn't be there, and not even the people in jail. Omurbek Babanov can't come back to the country. He doesn't feel safe. That's, you know, that looks bad. He got second place in the election, and by Central Asian standards, a close second. And yet he's unable to even return to Kyrgyzstan at the moment. You know, so a lot of this stuff, you know, the Atambayev, Jeenbekov feud should be a sideshow. Unfortunately, it's front and center on the stage. I would hope that all the other politicians and political parties in the country would understand that, and, you know, and move ahead. I mean, Jeenbekov said today that in the last 10 years, Kyrgyzstan has gotten more money in remittances than it has from direct investment and foreign exports. You know, that's horrible. It's true. But it's a horrible statement to make, and that should be a wake-up call to everyone to look at the situation in Kyrgyzstan. Why do they have to have so many migrant laborers come out? Are they they have to be dependent on money sent from other countries back home to keep the economy afloat? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mohammed, I would like to follow up on that point and again use this opportunity to highlight the failure, the very failure of Almazbek Atambayev, not only to build... to deliver on his pledges to strengthen the rule of law, to install justice and everything. But this is his main failure as well. He celebrated our labor migrants, you know, that's only his achievement that he put us into this Eurasian Economic Union, exactly just to ease that much of labor transfer. That was it. By his own admission, he did not create any jobs in Kyrgyzstan. And he recently also admitted that, you know, he failed to reform the KGB, he failed to appoint good judges. He now goes around, apologizes to all the journalists, all the civic activists, all the politicians who he hurt. And who is guilty of that? Whose failure is this? You mentioned Mr. Babanov. You know, Almazbek Atambayev is now so much lost any touch with reality. It is absurd. But he, the man who threw him out of the country, of this Babanov, opened these criminal cases against him on these bogus charges. He now came out for Babanov. You know, he has
why are you not letting him come?
Almazbek Atambayev has no shame in accepting responsibility for his deeds. And I would like to just assure you that there are enough, the overwhelming support of the people of Kyrgyzstan demands that Almazbek Atambayev faces justice, and face justice he will.
Okay. Edil, why the authorities in Kyrgyzstan are not letting Babanov to come back?
I think, you know, this is a question that Mr. Babanov needs to answer himself. You know, he had declared that he will come back in April. Then he, because he did not want to associate himself with Almazbek Atambayev, he really announced that he's afraid of any provocations from some third parties, and he postponed his arrival. But I'm sure
authorities have nothing to do with that, with his inability to come back.
I don't want to speculate on this matter, Mohammed. Okay. I believe that this matter is quite separate. Almazbek Atambayev is trying to pitch everybody and anybody against the current authorities.
Okay.
But the one thing I would like to urge all of us not to fall victim to his manipulations, and he is a great manipulator.
Yeah, we are not falling in manipulation of anyone. It'll be assured about that. So okay, let's end this discussion. We are already way over time, and thank you very much for your time today, all of you. So let's say start with you, Erica. So what you will be looking at going forward in Kyrgyzstan to determine where things are headed?
So as much as I agree with Adil about Atambayev being so idiotic at times and as ineffective as leader, I also think that Jeenbekov is not qualitatively better than Atambayev. He might not be a manipulator or, you know, as eccentric as Atambayev, but I don't see a big difference between what Atambayev did and what Jeenbekov does in the judiciary or economy. And unfortunately, my forecast is that it will continue to be the same, and Jeenbekov will continue to be centralizing power in his hands. He will try to promote loyalists to parliament next year, and perhaps down the road in a couple of years, we'll be talking about Jeenbekov trying to stay in power beyond his six-year tenure. So I don't see that Kyrgyzstan will become any better prosecuting former leaders without a broad judicial reform. And migrants will continue to travel to Russia. Political activists will continue to be suppressed. And who knows? After Jeenbekov, Adil, I'm sorry, you might be the one who will be prosecuted or who would be marginalized. It's so hard to bet on a leader without a deep reform, without some kind of principled change in the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take Talant, your point on this. I mean, where your eyes will be going forward in terms of how things will develop and where things are headed in Kyrgyzstan, what you will be looking at?
I unfortunately share the same pessimistic view of Erica. The things will not get any better, in my view. I think Atambayev did attempt to kind of allow for decentralization of power, but he just didn't finish the reform where parliament appoints the president and the prime minister is the figure that is the leader. Two, U.S. State Department recognized that people who are in prisons now are political prisoners, and European Union is warning against the selective justice, so it's already very bad signs. And third point, what Adil is saying about Atambayev, well, How about that the new leadership sets an example and does the precedent of doing all the reforms that Atambayev didn't do? And I think that would be the best way forward.
That's a
yes.
Well, yeah, why not? Why not President Jeenbekov?
Yeah. I would like to remind Talant that it was you who was cheering for the current president. I was rooting for another team. That's for you a sober reminder that it's not doesn't work that way. You know, the people elect someone to run the country. We like it or not, we need to keep him as our president. That because that's what democracy is all about. Okay. I'm not going to point to one country where they're having a huge problem with elected leader, but they're waiting for the next elections.
Okay.
They're waiting for the next elections.
So I would
like to tell you that I believe that the current president, for better or worse, was elected democratically. We need to celebrate that. And
thanks
we need
to
defend that. We need to defend that because Atambayev wanted to install this man as a puppet, as a marionette. And that's why he's calling him all that kind of names. Thankfully, this president will stay on and we will defend him against anybody and everybody who will try to remove him by force or violence. And anybody who will try will face very harsh treatment by law.
Mm-hmm.
But come to 2023, we will see some other leaders nominate themselves to be the force of change and to be the force of good for the better. But currently, the whole people of Kyrgyzstan demands justice and they want to see Almazbek Atambayev in jail.
Okay, Bruce, let's end with you. So where your eyes will be?
I'm not going to look any further down the road than next year's parliamentary elections.
Okay.
I would like to think that there is as well organized and as competitive as the ones were in 2015. Mm. That would at least show me that things were staying the same. I imagine in this atmosphere, if this feud keeps going on, that I hope we don't see a lot more interference. I hope there are 14 parties that are willing to forward candidates for parliament next year and that they all have an opportunity to campaign and get out and get their message out to the people with as little interference as possible. And I know that's asking a lot because there's never been an election in Kyrgyzstan without interference from the authorities or administrative resources or those kind of things. But for me, it would be enough that they could have a competitive election next year. It would show me that they're still more or less on the right track. And if some new parties could get in and some of the parties that are in could get less seats, that's all for the better, I think. And then we'll see. That would pretty much set the tone for what's going to happen in the next 3 years leading up to the presidential elections.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Liberty, Central Asia Bloc, Kishlok Awazi. Thank you. Big thanks goes to Edilbay Salov, Kyrgyz political activist. Now that you are ambassador, I hope we will keep having you on the Majlis podcast. Thank you very much for today. And also thank you very much for Tal Sultanov, the former spokesperson of jailed Kyrgyz Prime Minister Sabar Isakov, and Dr. Erik Amarat, Kyrgyz political analyst, also associate professor at the National Defense University. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your time today.
Thank you, Mohammed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mohammed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis podcast. Until next week. Bye-bye.